I said a while back that I would be doing a message on giving or tithing, stewardship, whatever you want to call it, when there were 5 Sundays in a month, because that's how I used to do it when I was serving in a church. But since I normally do my podcasts on Tuesdays instead of Sundays, I decided that whenever there's 5 Tuesdays in a month, that I would do a message on giving or tithing or stewardship. And guess what? There are 5 Tuesdays in May, and this is the last one. So guess what you're going to hear. So let's have a prayer. Father, we give you thanks for another day to enjoy this life that you've given us here on earth. Father, help us to make the best of this day. Lord, help us to reach out to someone that needs help, even if they say they're fine. Lord, if we see or feel that they need help, to be there for them. And Father, you give us the ability to help people in so many ways. Sometimes that help comes in a financial way where someone is struggling. Sometimes it's just the gift of hospitality. Sometimes it's shoveling a sidewalk or carrying in groceries or mowing a lawn. Sometimes it's just being there to listen, not to speak, sometimes just to listen. And so, Father, we give you thanks that you have given us the ability to help others. And so, Lord, as I look at our giving today and how you expect us to give, Lord, I just ask for your blessing on this message. I ask for your blessing on those that are going to be listening. And Father, just let us be ready to hear whatever it is you've got for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I used to have a hard time doing messages on this topic until the Lord impressed upon me how much I had been given. So now I look forward to doing these messages. And the message title is, How Much? Well, how much? What? And that's what we're going to explore here today. Is it how much you have been given, because we have all been blessed? Or how much you should give? You know, the Bible talks about that. Or how much are you giving up? And let's go with that last one. How much are we giving up? Okay, in 1 Chronicles 21, we find David getting himself into trouble again. Okay. David decided it was time to find out just how many fighting men that he had throughout the nation. And so he decided to go ahead and have a census done. And God had not told him to do that. So my paraphrase of verses 9 through 12 from 1 Chronicles 21 kind of goes like this. God went to Gad, who was David's seer or prophet, and God told Gad, says, David has 3 choices to pay for his mistake. Number 1, 3 years of famine. Number 2, 3 months of your enemies defeating you. And the third choice is 3 days of the Lord killing people with a plague. Well, this was David's choice. He says, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men. Now, with that, he could have taken choice 1 or 3, okay, either the 3 years of famine or 3 days of the plague, but he went with the 3 days of the plague, apparently, because the Lord sent a plague, and 70,000 men died from this plague. Now, we don't know how many women and children. Okay, just as 70,000 men died. Maybe it just hit the fighting men that David had just got done counting. But the Lord saw that great devastation and decided to show mercy to David. In verse 13, that's what David talked about. You know, the Lord's merciful. And so God decided to. And so the Lord went to his angel and he says, hey, let's just kind of back off here. You know, I mean, I'm seeing these men are dying like crazy. So David saw his mistake, and he knew that now it was time that he had to go and make a sacrifice to the Lord. And he was told to go to the threshing floor of a man named Ernah. So this is 1 Chronicles 21, verses 22 through 26, and this is from the New International Version. David said to Ernah, "Let me have the site of your threshing floor, so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague of the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at full price." Ernah said to David, "Take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I will give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing floor for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give you all of this." And King David replied to Ernah, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, or sacrifice a burnt offering that cost me nothing." So David paid Ernah 600 shekels of gold for the site. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of the burnt offering. Now, if you're going to read the parallel to this in 2 Samuel 24, it's a little bit different, okay? So maybe try to clear something up in case you have a question about it. Because in 2 Samuel 24, it says that David paid Ernah 50 pieces of silver, okay? Where in 1 Chronicles, it said that he gave him 600 shekels of gold. Okay, and the difference there was that 50 pieces of silver was about $550, where the gold, the total would have been around $4,300. So the Bible scholars that say that the difference is this. In 2 Samuel, he was just paying for the threshing floor and the oxen, where in 1 Chronicles, he was purchasing the site, it says. So maybe, according to 1 Chronicles 21, David bought the farm. He didn't just buy the threshing floor and the oxen. He bought the whole place. So David knew that in order for this to be a sacrifice, he was going to have to sacrifice. Okay, so the 600 pieces of gold or shekels of gold, or in another translation, it says 15 pounds of gold. Like I said, it's $4,300. Now, that's not a big deal to King David, $4,300. You and me, you know, that's going to be a lot. But it would be like Bill Gates just giving somebody a couple $100,000 and say, "Here, go do whatever." But the point was this. David knew that he couldn't take something from someone else and have it be worth anything as an offering. And that's the key word, offering. So I've got a question for you and for myself, and that is, what is our offering worth? You know, do you put in that 10% tithe or more whenever the plate is passed? Or are you that person that takes that dollar bill and you fold it, and you fold it this way, and you fold it that way, and you know, and so the usher can't see what it is that you're putting in? There's a story, and obviously it's a story, about this money that was waiting to be destroyed because it was all worn out and ripped and all, and, you know, when money gets to a certain point, they get rid of it. And so this money was waiting to be gotten rid of. And one of the $1 bills asked one of the $100 bills, he says, "Well, what kind of a life did you have?" And the $100 bill said, "Oh, man, I went to some of the finest restaurants around. It was always at these exclusive country clubs and, you know, just, you know, big jewelry stores and all, just the best of everything." And he said, "What about you?" And the dollar bill said, "Not me. Every week it was go to church, go to church, go to church." And, you know, that may seem funny, but it's an unfortunate truth, because we do not give to the Lord as we should in many cases. So David knew how wealthy he was, and that paying that 15 pounds of gold or whatever it was that he paid, it really wasn't a big deal to him. But he knew that paying nothing would make that offering worthless. Okay, I mean, the offering itself was still worth the same amount, but if it cost him nothing, it would be worthless. So let's take a look at our giving and see how we stack up. And remember this, at this time, size does matter, okay? Because David only paid full price for the threshing floor in the offering. He didn't say, I'll give you 100 times what it's worth. So it would look like he was sacrificing more. What matters is this. We need to know that our giving has to be a sacrifice. Now, David didn't want the threshing floor given to him. And he didn't want to get ripped off. So that's why it says he paid him the full price. Well, are we giving God the full price? And how do we measure our sacrifice? Well, in both the Old and New Testament, we read about the tithe. Okay, in the Old Testament, both words mean a tithe or 10% or to give 10%. In the New Testament, the three words that are used still mean the same thing. It means a tithe or 10%. So we shouldn't have any trouble understanding that unless... Now, Diane and I used to do a skit. It was called Gross or Net. And does the 10% come out of the gross or out of the net? Okay, that's what the skit was about. And, you know, it can be a really large difference because, you know, if you look at your paycheck and you got the gross amount there for whatever it is, and then you look down and, well, out come the federal taxes and the state taxes and maybe county or city taxes. And then there's Social Security. And then, you know, maybe you give money to the credit union. I mean, it's still your money, but it's not going to be there at the end. And then you've got medical insurance. And, well, that's big. And, you know, some people, they have child support maybe taken out of their paycheck. And other people, you know, maybe you've got an IRA or you've got a, you know, 401k or whatever it might be. And so, you know, from gross to net, man, there's a lot of difference there. And so by the time everybody's done taking their fair share, as they would call it, our share doesn't seem fair at all. So where does God's 10% come from? Now, for a believer, that really should be a no-brainer. Okay, did God provide you with the gross or did God provide you with the net? You know, we need to go and look at the only Italian prophet in the Bible, the book of Malachi. Actually, I know it's Malachi, okay? But in chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Now, God didn't say in Malachi, bring me what's left after others have taken their share. I think many people do like we used to do. Okay? I wasn't a believer when Diane and I got married. She was. And whether she was tithing before I came along or not, I don't know. But after we got married and I started going to church a few months later, and, you know, we would give a part of what was left after the bills were paid and after we'd gotten groceries and after we'd gotten gas in both cars and all. And so we would give some of what we had left. But, you know, we couldn't give all of what was left because, you know, we didn't know what was coming. And so we weren't giving as we should be because... Listen to the rest of Malachi 3:10. It says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, that doesn't make a lick of sense to a non-believer. Okay? a non-believer, if you were to share that with them, they would say, well, that really sounds pretty stupid to me. But you're going to give God more and he's going to give you more? Nah, I don't think so. And sometimes we would hear somebody say, well, you know, you can't pay your bills now and you're going to give more to God. You know, if we think about it, that really does defy logic. But thank the Lord, he doesn't rely on our definition of logic. So God blesses us the way that he does for at least three reasons. The first reason being it's because he loves us. Okay, listen to Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11. This is from the New Century Version. If your children ask for bread, which of you would give him a stone? Or if your children ask for a fish, would you give them a snake? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father will give you good things if you ask for them. God gives to us because he created us to love us. And so he's not going to say, you know, give me your tithe, give me your sacrifices, and, you know, you're just on your own. No, he says, I'm going to bless you if you do what I ask. Okay, and the second reason that God blesses us the way he does is so that we can be blessed by giving back to him. That's what sacrificing is about. That's what tithing is about. That's what giving is about. We don't give to God because it's a tax that we have to pay. Okay, we don't give to God because it's a burden. Okay? We never did it in any of the churches where I served, but I know a lot of churches, you know, it gets near the end of the year and they have people making pledges for the next year. And, you know, then to me that would be kind of like a tax. You know, I said I'm going to give $100 a week. Well, you know, I've only got $50. I better get some more money from someplace because I said I was going to give $100. And if I just don't go to church because I don't have it, then next week I'm going to have to give $200. And, you know, if you look at it that way, it becomes a burden. And so we need to give as we're supposed to. Because remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. This is from the New Living Translation. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And I like the way it says it in the message. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. I like that. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. That's how it should be when we give to the Lord. And we need to remember that, you know, we're given to the Lord, not given to the first whatever church or the church or what's happening now. You know, we're giving it to the Lord. It's going through the church to be used in ways that hopefully they've prayed about and are using it wisely. But we're not given to the church. It's being given to the Lord. Well, God blesses us when we give so we can be a blessing to others. Verse 12 from Matthew 7 says this, do to others what you want them to do to you. This is the meaning of the law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets. You know, we may not admit it, but when we have a need, we hope, you know, we may even expect others to help us. Okay? You said we may not admit that, but I think we really do. And as Christians, you know, that really should be a given. That, you know, when we see somebody in need, we're going to help out. Because listen to Romans 12, 13. This is from the New Living Translation. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. In 1 John 3:17, it says, suppose someone has enough to live and sees a brother or sister in need, but does not help them, then God's love is not living in that person. Okay? God expects us to be a blessing to other people. And here's some wisdom from Solomon's Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 28. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow, or I'll be able to help you then. No. If we can help somebody, we need to be helping somebody. And that's not always a monetary thing, okay? One translation said, you know, if you've got the money in your pocket, help them. Well, it's not just a monetary thing. You know, the blessings that we can pass on to others is not just from our checkbook. So I think the scriptures make it pretty clear that we are expected to be there for one another. We're expected to help each other. And we need to be ready to give. You know, David hadn't planned on giving when he did in 1 Chronicles 21. You know, I mean, he was out doing other things. And so, you know, he wasn't planning on that until Gad came to him, and then the plague came. And so he wasn't really planning on it. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to have to go back to the palace and get some money so I can buy this plot of land and buy the threshing floor from Arnah. You know, he didn't say that. And he didn't say, you know, I'll make that sacrifice tomorrow or next week when I'm ready. He was ready all the time to be able to give. And we need to remember that giving outside our tithe is what we need to do. That second mile giving. Remember what it said in Malachi 3? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Your tithe goes to that place where you normally worship. Whether you're a member or not doesn't make any difference. If that's the normal place where you go to worship, that's your storehouse. Okay, that's where you take your tithe. You know, if you go on vacation and you worship someplace else and, you know, they get ready to take up the offering, if you want to put something in, that's up to you. Okay, I may have shared this before, but I know we were in a Baptist church back in the early 90s, I guess it was, and we were on vacation, and when it came time for the offering, the pastor or whoever it was that was getting ready to take up the offering said, you know, this isn't your church, if you're not from here, you know, don't feel like you've got to put anything into the offering plate. And that's the way it should be. You know, maybe you go with a friend to their church, you know, for something special. Maybe their daughter's being baptized or whatever it might be. And so you go with them to their church. And, you know, if you feel like putting in the offering, that's fine, if that's what the Lord's telling you to do. Or maybe you're at your own church, the place where you normally worship, and they say, you know, well, we're going to take up a second offering today, and that's going to be for, you know, this mission project, or that's going to be for the youth to do something, whatever it might be. You know, if you feel led to do something, do it. Or maybe you go someplace to hear a speaker, or to go to a concert, a Christian concert someplace, and, you know, they normally take up an offering. And if you feel like participating in that, if you feel like giving something that offering, go ahead and do it. But remember this, in all of these cases, that does not, okay, let me repeat, this does not come out of your tithe. If your tithe, let's say, is $100 a week, and, you know, you go to this concert on Friday night, and you decide, you know, well, I want to put $20 in there. Then Sunday comes and you say, well, I only need to put $80 in because I already gave that $20. No, that $20, that's over and above the $100. Okay, that $100 still goes in to the offering plate where you worship. So you need to remember that. And this is what you've been led to give in addition to your tithe. And another proverb that I want to share with you is from chapter 11, verse 24. I had this just this morning in our devotions. It says, some people give much, but get back even more. others don't give what they should and end up poor. Okay, God expects us to give. And something else I read someplace, it says, a generous man forgets what he gives, but remembers what he receives. So we've been talking about offering and talking about sacrificing and how our tithe, our offering, needs to be a sacrifice. But if we want to talk about sacrifice, the place that we need to start is here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God saw our need, and he knew there was only one way to meet it, and he met it through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.